Praise the Lord, church. Isn't it awesome to be here tonight? Feeling the presence of an almighty God instead of the hangover of alcohol, drugs. Listen. We've been preaching this month on spiritual warfare, and you can be seated. Our theme for this month is Put Your War Clothes On. This is sermon 3 of the sermons that I've preached, and I've got 2 more to go in this series. Brother Demas will be preaching this Wednesday night a Bible study on the topic of putting your war clothes on. But tonight we're going to be speaking about binding the past, loosening the future by changing your today. You see, so many of us have been bound in our past. We need to loose our future, and the only way we're going to get rid of the shackles of our past and look forward to the freedom of the future is if we change here and now. If you don't change here and now, you will walk out of here tonight with the same shackles and the same chains you came in here. You can sing about it, you can dance about it, you can jump about it, but until you make a physical, spiritual change, nothing's going to happen. You can get hyped up, pumped up, but there needs to be a change. I'm not for sure who brought and put outside my office door a bronze casting of the Word of God along with the sword of the Spirit. That it was not a name on it. It was a very nice gift. I thank you very much. It's a very nice addition to my office because it's very fitting this particular month. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to read our text that we have been reading for this month and every message that I preached, starting Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And if we could stand for the reading of the word. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Don't put on part of it. Don't cut any corners. Put it all on because we're going to war. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, stand against the temptations, stand against the trickery of the devil. Because that's what he's going to try to do to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness in the heavens. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we are living in a most evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation to protect your head, to protect your mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And take all of this and put it on, and pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." What a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. How many of you are fighting a battle tonight? You see, we are fighting a war, and you can be seated tonight. And when we look at this war that we're fighting, as I have mentioned in past, it is a war that is unseen. We cannot see our opponent, but we can see the results of what he does. We cannot see the spirits of alcohol, but we can see the results of what alcohol does in a person's life. We cannot see the spirits of pornography. pornography, but we can see what the spirits of pornography has and the effect it has in people's lives. We are warring against a war and against an enemy that we cannot physically see. So we have to put our war clothes on. We have to equip ourselves. You see, we're fighting this war. It's not like we're fighting a divorce where we are in court, where we fight over stuff. We're not fighting over who gets the china. We're not fighting over who gets the dog. We're not fighting over who gets what car and what chairs and what pictures on the wall. We're not fighting over material things. It's a war that we are fighting over the very possession of your soul. And we need to understand that Satan is out to simply destroy and annihilate you and I. It's serious. It's serious. I want to read tonight from Matthew 16 and lay a little bit of groundwork before we get into the bulk of this message. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, 13, 19. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" He says, "Disciples, who do men out there say that I am? Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he saith," or Jesus saith unto them, "Whom do ye?" Who do you? Who do you, Sister Johnson? Who do you, Brother Daryl? Who do you, Sister Moran? Who do you say that I am? That's what he's asking. He saith unto them, "But who do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee," now you got to get a load of this next section of Scripture, because this next section of Scripture is so powerful in its context. "But I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the gates of hell shall not, cannot, will not in any way, shape, or form come against and prevail against what we are experiencing right here tonight. But he goes on to say, and he says, "I will give unto thee the keys." This is so crucial in our Christian walk with God. "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You see, Jesus had come to minister along the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was some 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee at the base of Mount Hermon. Caesarea Philippi, it was located at the very mouth of the Jordan River. One of the largest natural springs that fed into the Jordan River was located right there at Caesarea Philippi. It had an abundant water supply, and it made the area a very fertile area for crops and very attractive for religious worship. And there were numerous temples over the centuries that had been built here at Caesarea Philippi during the Hellenistic period, or after Alexander the Great, and during the beginning of the rise of the great Roman Empire. And at this time, when Jesus is walking along the shores of the Jordan River and along the Sea of Galilee there, he is under, and the nation is under, the Roman rule at the time that we read the Scripture. So putting all of this in context, you understand what's going on in that particular day. And Jesus is about to begin that long, lonesome, hard, saddened road to Calvary. He's following the Jordan River. He will follow it down to Jericho, and to Jericho, we are reminded of Jesus healing the blind Bartimaeus when he stood there on the roadside and cried out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me, a beggar and a blind man." And we need to have that attitude tonight where we say, "Oh, dear God, Jesus, Lord, Master, please have mercy on me as a sinner. I am a sinner and I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I need a spiritual cleansing. I need a spiritual healing. I need you." And we need to cry out. You know, there's very few times in the scripture when Jesus performed a miracle that he actually mentioned the name of the person. We don't know the name of the centurion. We don't know the name of the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know the 10 lepers. But for some reason, we know of blind Bartimaeus. Maybe because we can all relate to the desperation that he felt. He would make his way on from Jericho, heading east toward Jerusalem, where he would enter as a triumphant entry. And the palm trees would be stripped of their leaves and people would throw their clothing down and he would enter in all of the glory of a king. But by week's end, he would be hanging on a cross, shedding his blood for your and my salvation. And before Jesus got to that point, he wanted to make sure that his disciples understood the basics of two questions that he asked him and poses to them. I can see as they're walking along, he stops, perhaps to gather some shade or get in some shade from the heat and the dust. And I can see as they gather around, no doubt out of habit, because when Jesus stopped, he would always have something to say. He would go into some parable or he would give them some words of wisdom. And as they stop and Jesus begins to speak, it's one of those teachable moments. You see, everything he's invested in his disciples is already there. If they haven't got it by now, knowing the time is short, they're probably not going to get it. But he asked them these two questions. He wanted to make sure that they knew the answer. He says, "What do men say that I am?" When you go out into the marketplace, when you go to Woodman's, when you go to Cops, when you go to the farmer's market, and you ask about this Jesus, "What do men say that I am? Who do they say that I am?" And they gave their reply. They said, "Some say that you're Elias, the great prophet in the Old Testament that called fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. Some say that you're Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he wept over the sins of the nation of Israel." Jesus Christ wept over the sins of Israel. "Some say that you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Some say that you're just a great master, you're a great teacher, or one of the other prophets." And Jesus turns that question back to them. And he says, "But whom do you say that I am?" You see, he was not asking really what others thought. He wasn't really worried about the opinion of others. We look in our world today and politicians, it just seems like you can't keep up with the opinion polls of the politicians. You can't be a leader and rule by opinion polls. It doesn't work that way. That's why we're in such a mess. If you're a leader, be a leader. Make decisions. Stand by them. Same thing in your household. Men, be the leaders of your household. Make decisions. Stand by them. That was for free. Peter, he looks at Peter and he says, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, I love his answer because it's a deep answer. He says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the one prophesied in the Old Testament. Thou art Emmanuel with us. God with us. Thou art the Son of the living God. You are the God that created the heavens and the earth. You are God that spoke life into existence. I know who you are. You are the true living God standing before me in the flesh. He got it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, God is here tonight. That same Jesus Christ that went away said, I will come again, but I'm going to send a comforter, and the comforter is here tonight in the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. I can feel it. I know it's here because I'm here and because you're here. And if it dwells in you and it dwells in me, where we go, it goes. I just love that. You see, if you have not received Bible salvation, if you've not repented of your sins, been baptized in the only name there is to be baptized, in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Dave spoke so well of this Wednesday night. Didn't Brother Dave do a tremendous job preaching Wednesday night? And filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, God is desiring to reveal himself to you tonight. You see, Jesus was saying to Peter, he was saying, this revelation, it's not a spoken revelation, Peter. This revelation is a heart revelation. This didn't come from up here. This came from here. And he's saying, he said, you know, Peter, you got it. Good answer. And Jesus had accomplished, and he understood at that moment he had accomplished what he had set out to do. Not because he taught the disciples the right words to say, but because they searched within themselves to know who Jesus Christ really was. They got it. They understood it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And verse 18, if we go in reading this, the scripture we're reading in Matthew, and Jesus went on to say, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I want to reword this a little bit. This isn't a play on words, but it's just what this is really saying. Jesus is really looking at Peter, and he's saying, thou art Peter. Thou art Petros, a stone. You are a stone, Peter. That's what you are. That's what your name means. But Peter, upon this rock, and I can see Jesus as he points to himself, and he said, you're a stone, Peter. But this rock, Jesus Christ, I am the foundation in which all the world is laid upon. All the truth, all the power, all the authority. You are a rock. But you are placing your rock on top of my foundation. And between your rock and my foundation, nothing can come against us. Nothing will prosper that comes against us. That's powerful. That's incredible. And I love, and you go on, and verse 18 says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, because the sacrifice of the rock, Jesus Christ, and the shedding of his blood on Calvary, the very gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. But we must make sure that tonight that we are on a firm foundation and not on shifting sand, so that when Satan comes against us, and come against us he will, and come against us he has, we can take a strong and a firm stand on our foundation. Our bedrock, the Bible, Jesus Christ. This is what we stand on. Verse 19 says, And I love this because he begins to unlock the authority. If you follow this through verse by verse, you can see where that Peter gets it. And Jesus understands that he gets it. And as Peter gets it, Jesus Christ begins to give to him the authority. He begins to pass the baton from his life, knowing he's going to Calvary, and he's going to pass it off on Peter, even though he knows Peter's going to fall and fail. But he begins to pass this off and he says, and I will give unto thee, telling Peter, I'm going to give unto you, Peter. Say that, I'm going to give, and put your name in there. I'm going to give unto you. We got one sister that's got it. Yes, ma'am, he's going to give unto Darlene. Yeah, she got it. Want to try it again? And I will give unto thee. Yeah. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And check this next little section out. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, keys are a sign of authority. If you have the key, when you need to get into the church, you go around and you look for someone that has a key. And that key has authority with it. I got a key that can get in every room in this building. How many of you have that key? Ha, ha, ha. Don't ask me for it. It's somewhere. I just get into my office. You see, keys are a sign of authority. Now, Peter professes with his heart as to who Jesus Christ is, and Jesus Christ gives him the keys to the kingdom. He gives Peter authority to bind. Listen to this. He gives him authority to bind Satan and loose heaven. That is the authority that Jesus Christ gave to Peter. And Peter later experienced the ultimate in that authority in the baptism and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. That's where his power came from. He gives us today authority to open the doors of salvation. And he gives us authority to loose people from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and to bind the habits that are holding them back. John 20:23 said, whosoever sins are ye remit, ye they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He gives us the authority to loose people from sickness. He gives us the authority to bind demonic spirits that attack us ourselves. Is that not what it says? I'm going to give it to you. And whatsoever is going to be bound in earth is going to be bound in heaven. You see, it gives us the authority to bind false teaching and to bind loose doctrine. It gives us the authority to bind the habits that come against us. And it gives us the authority to take and bind the enemy as he comes against us in sicknesses. And if you say, well, you know, I'm not so sure that all sicknesses come from the devil. All I can tell you is, I don't know if there's a specific demon of cancer. I don't know if there's a demon of blindness. I don't know if there's a demon of disease. I don't really care. But I do know one thing, that when God and Satan had a little bit of a conversation, God allowed Satan to inflict Job with all kinds of matter of issues. I don't know if his boils that he had all over him could have been skin cancer. I have no idea. No, it came from Satan. If he's got the authority and God gives him the authority to affect Job, well, just maybe he can affect you and I. But I know he also gives us the authority to bind that sickness. You see, Peter caught on to this. And I believe that after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter fell on his face, understanding as he literally took, and he took his old life. I don't know what happened between the crucifixion and Peter denying Christ and Peter standing on the day of Pentecost, but I do know something happened in the life of Peter, and I think he took and he remembered back what Jesus Christ said and said, whatsoever you can take and bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And he looked at his life, he looked at his past failures, he looked at his flaws, and he says, I bind those past failures, I bind those past flaws in the name of Jesus, and I lose liberty, I lose power, I lose authority in the name of Jesus in my life. And Peter, as he stood on the day of Pentecost and preached, he preached with authority because he had authority. You see, he was a changed man. A changed man. A victorious Christian life means that we must learn to bind some things and loose others. You see, binding and loosening, we need to focus on particular needs. Matthew 18:18-19, which we have read. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And it goes on, and we've covered that. And it goes on to say in verse 19, again, I say unto you, as Brother Scott read, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So it only takes two people. It only takes two people. It only takes two people to agree. It only takes two people to agree. You don't have to have a whole house full of people to agree. It only takes two. We got to have more than two here tonight. You see, I pray that we bind tonight in our lives. And I have so much scripture here. I'm going to go through this rapid fire, but I'm going to tell you that at the end of this month, in our January, our last prayer meeting, all of these scriptures in context will be given to you to put in your prayer journal. I strongly recommend you take these scriptures out and you begin to exercise this, because we have the power to bind the spirit of fear. You have the power to bind the spirit of death. You have the power to bind an untrusting and doubtful spirit. If you're experiencing nightmares and you can't sleep at night, Psalms 91:5 says, I have the authority to bind that spirit. If you're afraid of men, if you're afraid of mankind, if people, if you suffer from anxiety and all of these things, Proverbs 29:25 says, I give you the authority to bind it. Anxiety and stress is off the charts in America, but 1 Peter 5:7 says, I have authority to bind anxiety and stress in my life. Use it. Doesn't cost you a dime. We need to loose love. We need to loose power. And we need to loose a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a power. He has given us power. He has given us power. He has given us power and of love and of a sound mind. Put on the helmet of salvation. A blind and perverse spirit. He gives us the power to bind a wounded spirit. He gives us the power to bind evil action. He gives us, if you're a chronic worrier and everything you do, you worry about, Proverbs 19:12 says, I'm going to give you power and authority over a worrying spirit. Stop worrying, mama, and trust God. Read his word. Trust him. People constantly twisting the word of God. Acts 13:10 and 2 Peter 2:14 says, I have power over that. But not only power, authority. If you're here tonight and you've suffered from child abuse as a child, Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 4:12 gives you the power and the authority to bind those spirits. your life. Incest, pornography, sexual perversions, a filthy mind. 1 John 2:16, 1 Corinthians 7:9, 2 Samuel chapter 13, Proverbs 2:12 through 15, or Proverbs 2:12 through 15, and Proverbs 22:33 gives us the power to bind that in our minds. The helmet of salvation. Put it on. Keep it on. Wear it. Abortion. Atheism. We live in a country that is vastly sweeping toward the atheistic movement and humanism. Freedom from Religion Foundation. I have power and authority in Romans 1:30 and Proverbs 14:2 and 19:3 to bind you. I bind it in Jesus' name. Does his name, does it or not have a power and authority? I loose an excellent spirit. Nehemiah 9:20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Loose an excellent spirit in your life. I know of people that suffer with jealousy. They suffer with revenge and anger, cruelty, strife. Extremely competitive in everything they do. They're filled with anger and rage, and they hate everything. There's so many scriptures on binding those spirits in your life. You can bind that. You can destroy that in your life. Listen, either you're going to destroy it or it's going to destroy you. There's no other way around it. And loose in your life the love of God. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. How many of you ever had to work with people that are unsubmissive? You can't teach them anything and they want to argue about everything. You can bind that spirit. Bind the spirit of false doctrine and loose the spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us, not us. Hereby know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes we can allow these things to come into us, and we need to take and bind them in us before we can bind them in someone else. I was praying about this on another message, and God spoke to me and very clearly as I was studying. And I remember reading about Goliath and how David challenged Goliath and slew Goliath. And I was thinking about that and trying to weave the story into this message in a different type of a way, approaching it a little different. And when I was looking at this, God began to speak to me and says, you notice one thing about Goliath. And you notice one thing different about him killing the lion and the bear. I said, well, Lord, he killed the lion and the bear with a sling, and he killed Goliath with a sling. Yes, he did that. But what's that one thing that's different? Where was he when he killed the lion and the bear? And where was he when he killed the giant? I said, he was on the back 40. When he killed the lion and the bear. And God says, exactly, until you kill the giants in your life in private. If you can't slay a giant in your life in private, don't expect to draw him down and destroy him in public. You got to kill those giants in your life that hound you day in and day out. You got to bind that spirit in private. You go to war in your bedroom. You go to war in your closet, in your basement. You bind them spirits and you destroy them. And then God will give you the victory to go out on the street and lay hands on sick and lay hands on the demons and cast them out. But we got to bind our spirits in private. It's not going to happen any other way. God will never allow us to circumvent his principles. So if you're struggling in your life and you've got spirits, you need to bind them. Elvis Presley sang a song, "Clean Up Your Own Backyard." We got some cleaning to do, church. Loose the spirit of truth. Some of you have had heavy hearts for a very long time, and I'm certainly understanding of that, but you need to bind the spirit of excessive mourning, sorrow, grief, brokenhearted. You need to bind that spirit of suicidal tendencies and suicidal thoughts in your mind. You need to bind that spirit. You need to read Mark chapter 9 and say, "I go against this. I know exactly what that is all about, because suicide claimed my youngest brother, and I do not want to see anyone bound by an eternal death through their own hands." Bind that spirit. No matter how much the devil tells you you're not worth and how much trash talk he whispers in your ear, bind him. Some of you are stuck in a mode of self-pity. Psalm 69:20. Bind it. Please. For our sake. Take authority over it. Doesn't do me any good to feel sorry for it. It's not going to get you out of it. You got to destroy that giant. Destroy that demonic spirit that's coming against you. You got to loose comfort. You got to loose that garment of praise, as we sang tonight about praise. You got to release that oil of joy. John 15:26, "But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Bind the spirits and loose the comforter. Loose the garment of praise. Loose the Holy Ghost in your life. Let it do what it was designed to do. Seducing spirits. Boy, if this isn't prevalent in our world today. Hypocritical lies. 1 Timothy 4:1, seared conscience. 1 Timothy 4:1 also. Deception, deceiving people. 2 Timothy 3:13, 1 John 2:18. Fascination of all types of evil ways, objects. There's all sorts of things that can fall into this. Proverbs 12:26, and seduced, enticed. People are being seduced and enticed into all sorts of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of, you name it, it's out there. 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 2:3 and 13. Wandering from the truth, people walk away from the gospel. They're attracted by all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of false signs, and all kinds of false wonders. And we need to loose in our lives the spirit of truth. John 16:13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We serve a God that cannot lie. Satan is the father of all lies. The minute he opens his mouth, lies come out. He can't help himself. It's in his character. It's part of him. It's who he is. And when that great day comes, we will all stand and we will be able to take a look at him and we will shake our heads and say, "Are you serious? That right there is what seduced mankind and tricked mankind for centuries? You have got to be kidding." We need to bind the spirit of the Antichrist. Humanism, teaching of heresy that's going on in the religious ranks. I cannot believe some of the stuff that I read on the news about what churches are preaching and teaching. It's unbelievable. They're no more teaching Christ and his teachings than the man on the moon. And there's no man on the moon right now, in case you're wondering that. And we need to loose the spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And this last area I want to cover, and if our praise team can come, we need to bind the spirit of bondage in our lives. I talk with people every week, that are caught up in all kinds of addictions and fears, drugs, alcohol, sin, compulsive sin. They're servants to sin. They can't rid themselves. They can't shake it from them. Listen, you come to a place tonight, you can get rid of those shackles and those chains. If you can stand to your feet, and if you can just hold off just a moment, Sister Vicky. You see, arrogant, smug, self-righteous, bind it and loose a humble and a contrite spirit. If you're sick here tonight, the Bible says we have authority over sickness. We can bind it. If you have, it says, bind the spirit of infirmity. Bind that spirit. Bind that spirit of infirmity. Luke 13:11. A bent body, a bent spine. If you have a bent body or you have a bent spine, you have osteoporosis, you have diseases of the bones. Luke 13:11 says, bind that spirit. Arthritis, John 5:5. Cancer, Luke 13:11 and John 5:5. If you have acid reflux, lingering disorders, all kinds of matter of sicknesses, bind them sicknesses in the name of Jesus. Asthma, fever, allergies, bind it in the name of Jesus. And loose the gift of healing. Strongholds, spiritual warfare. You see, God is the army. We're not in the army of God. God is the army. And I have chosen in my life to have power in my life. I have chose to cast down all sorts of imaginations. I want to bring every thought into captivity. I'm not going to allow my mind to be filled with hopelessness and helplessness. When my mind is blinded, I want the light of the gospel to shine through, because you are my God. You are my King. You push back at our enemies. We trample on our foes. I do not trust myself for victory, but through Jesus Christ, he has given us victory. He has given me victory. And he can take and allow that victory to put our enemy to shame. And I'm going to open up this altar and I'm going to read two scriptures. And in the process, you can come to this altar, and you come to this altar with the intent of binding whatever it is in your life. If you want to bind the spirit of sickness in your life, come down over here and continue to pray, and we will pray with you. If you bind all kinds of sick matters of problems and situations, no matter what it is in your life, come into the center. And if you've never received the power of the Holy Ghost, come over on this side, and we're going to read this last scripture, and then we're going to start to sing again. But it says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting out every kind of imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And he, Satan, shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. One of these days, Satan is going to stand powerless before us and the throne of God, and he's going to strip him of his power, strip him of his authority, and take his kingdom from him. And he is going to turn around and give the kingdom of Satan back to the saints. Bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Rid yourself tonight of the shackles that have you bound. If you're a sinner, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a saint, you need the Holy Ghost. Bind it. Get rid of the shackles. Get rid of the chains. And bind the devil in Jesus' name, because we have the right.
I want to clap a little louder than before.